Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You know, technically, this would be our theme song, but we haven't actually picked one.
It's Benny Hill. This has got to change.
Yes. What are we going to do? We need a theme song.
I'm so nonplussed by Benny Hill right now. We're going to do this. We're going to get something good, and it's going to be rocking.
Anybody out there want to write something for us?
Let's start out like this. Woo-hoo!
My boots are stomping.
This is the Rachel and Matt show.
Our Matt and Rachel show.
The Matt and Rachel show.
Yes, exactly. A little backstory.
Yeah, let's tell them about us.
Yeah. Want to just read the thing we wrote about 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, sure. Here's the premise, you guys. Matt Timms and Rachel Wharton.
That's me.
We're bringing you 30 minutes of lucid thoughts.
Lucid.
Food-centric.
Semi-lucid.
Game shows. And trivia. Mind-numbing trivia.
Mind-numbing. We're also going to talk about the news of the day.
Yeah, we're going to have celebrities, non-celebrities.
Everything in between.
Your family.
Yes.
We're going to have really cool people on.
When they answer my call.
Oh, my God. This is going to be a brilliant show. But the best part about this show is we're both brilliant radio producers. That's known. That's a known fact, right?
Yes. I mean, that's the backstory is that we have a long, pathetic history at Heritage Radio Network, where a year ago we both were doing shows every week.
They love us and they hate us and they love us.
So they let us come back and try it again together.
A year ago you were doing shows every so often.
Every so often. Yeah. It was randomly placed, but brilliant shows. Mine was The Mind Kitchen, wherein I gave people, five ingredients, and they had
so
to
much fun.
Whip together a three-course meal. You won.
In their mind.
You won an episode. Yeah, I was never on your show. Tell me about your show.
You were. You totally were on my show, which is why that's why I know all about you and how you came to do the Chili Takedowns.
The fact that I forgot that is a perfect example of us. We're going to drink less in the new year.
Right.
We're not going to drink less. This is horrible, though. I woke up all hungover. We're not going to drink as much. I'm not going to drink as much.
Okay. I'll carry the weight for you.
I know.
Since this is our first show, it's gonna be three segments, 3 10-minute segments. The first where we just talk, which is what you really listen for because you love that. Second, we're gonna quiz our guest or each other or all the above, and then we're just gonna let it roll from there.
Yeah, and one other thing, listeners, maybe we should just tell them a quick little bio about who we are, so that you know they're actually pretty important,
good idea.
And that you should know about us because we're so rad. You want to start?
Well, I'm going to start by, I'll talk about you.
Oh, you talk about me, I'll talk about you.
Yeah. So this is why I actually interviewed the first time around, because my old show was loosely linked to the fact that I'm an editor at Edible Brooklyn, and I think that Matt is one of the most amazing Brooklynites because his full-time job is running cooking competitions.
Yeah.
He is paid to go around the country and get the public to make avocado dishes or bacon dishes or chili dishes, which is how you originally started.
Bacon takedown, avocado takedown, cookie takedown, chili takedown.
This is what this man does for a living, and he's damn good at it.
Thank you.
And he also hosts this radio show.
Now I'm supposed to do your blurb?
Yeah.
She's like the queen of Edible Brooklyn, Edible Manhattan. She's got a James Beard Award.
Yes.
If this was a produce show, there'd be an echo when I said that.
Like a gong? Like me
James
hitting the
Beard
actual award?
Yeah. Hey, and you know what? Let's also throw a shout out to Jack in the Booth, who just did that for us.
Jack
pushed
in
a button.
The Booth!
Jack, can you say something dope just to explain?
It was an applause for me, actually. I was trying to get you guys to say my name.
This guy is so dope. Plus, he knows how to. He's doing everything all at once. He's an octopus, and he's going to be entering. You know, every now and then. Hopefully, you're giving your feedback on if we're doing a good job or not. I think we're doing a good job.
I can't believe I never thought of Jack in the Booth before. Is that like something people tossed around here all the time and I never...
Matt made that up.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I said, fuck yeah, because I can. So far,
we have one burp and one curse word.
But I was told we could curse. Not that
for
we should make a thing of it. I think this should be a
totally,
cool show.
You just totally took our quota for burps and curse words in like the first 10.
No, he's lying to you.
Burp.
Now would be a good time to ask, can we talk about Purveys, or at least say that this is a teaser. You're about to have one of the biggest food writers in New York.
I'm snorting.
You can't laugh when I say that, dude.
Yeah, Purveys, you have to introduce yourself.
Please, Purveys.
Yo.
Oh, come on.
There, you got to do better than that. That's called dead air, homeboy.
Hi.
Are I'm you texting Shalani. Over there?
Oh, boy. This is off to a rocking start. He wanted to be on the show. He really did.
I am very excited to be part of Awesome.
God damn, you are. Oh, I'm so really
he's going to be a frequent guest.
He'll be a frequent guest. We got Scott Gold. We're talking about having him as a frequent guest.
He's the shameless
guest.
Carnivore.
The shameless carnivore?
Both book. Will appear when our mothers will not answer our phone calls to be our celebrity guests.
Yeah, yeah. But wait, Pervez, I mean, please tell the listeners exactly why they should know you.
Because I have the perfect penis for radio.
Oh, my God. You're also Christ. The food editor of the week.
Yes, food editor.
At the week.
Contributing editor in charge of food. Oh,
and you write for the Wall Street Journal.
Sometimes.
About food.
Crime.
Yes.
Yeah, he is an actual crime writer. He stakes out crime scenes. And coincidentally, Rachel has just started dating a crime photographer.
Yes.
It's out there now.
It is out there.
Not that it wasn't evident if you hung out in Williamsburg.
You guys got the juice.
But back to Pervez, who's like trying to... you've also, like, unlike the us two jokers, you've actually gone to culinary school, right?
Which is kind of a joke in itself.
No, come on. They might be sponsors.
Listen, what you guys have to look forward to in the near future after the break is
trivia.
I prepared some unbelievable trivia questions for you guys. Can I give you a teaser of just like what to expect?
Yes.
Okay.
Pervez, get ready.
Food-centric trivia. All sorts, you know, running the gamut of cooking, the culinary world and whatnot. You're going to sling a couple at me as well, right?
Yes.
And then
written just for you, which is what I plan to do each week. I kind of want to ask the people who are our guests questions that are related to what they do. For example, if you have a wine person, that's a really boring example. Wine doesn't wine make everybody yawn. Sorry, whoever does the wine show.
No.
Or like if they're into hot dogs, we ask them questions about that.
Are you saying that because wine makes you sleepy?
Yes.
But we'd like we encounter.
Or next week, here's a teaser. Next week, it's hopefully going to be George Motes, who's wrote Hamburger America, and he also runs the New York City Food Film Festival, which is going to begin October 13th, and his brand new show starts October 4th, and he's our guest next week.
Oh my God, we've got celebrity guests.
We're going to ask him questions about hamburgers.
They're banging on the door. You're talking about hot dogs. We're going to have.
Wait, there's
going to
be hamburgers on the show next week.
Yes.
Why am I here this week then?
You can come back next week.
You can come back whenever, dude. You're always welcome. Our awesome. Our studio is your.
We only have 4 minutes left in toilet. This first segment.
We got what now?
I was going to pretend that this was a normal format, but I was going to bring up something that was in the news.
No, I think we've done this beautifully. What we've done is we've introduced ourselves, Matt and Rachel, the Matt and Rachel
we've
show.
We've proved our awesomeness.
We have. We want you to listen constantly. We can tell you right now this is going to be fun. It's going to be informative, and mostly it's going to be stupid as... No, it's going to be fun. That's what I meant. Lots of trivia, lots of game shows, lots of reasons for you to stick around. Even phone in if you think you've got an answer. We might be playing with that. We'll give you more news on that in the next show.
And that phone number is 718-497-2128.
You're absolutely welcome to call that number. Can you say that number one more time just for
them? 718-497-2128.
That's so dope. And so what you're going to do is you're going to call in, and when the time is right, and we ask a smart question and you know the answer, you're welcome to chime in.
Wait, Matt, can you tell your capsaicin story in 3 minutes?
The hot ghost
wings,
pepper?
The hot wing story.
I want a hot contest.
Oh, yeah.
I ate all 10 kinds of hot sauce.
Is that like seven? Is that a 7 minute story or a 2 minute story?
Did it burn?
It burned. I saw a white light. I couldn't see it. Everything turned white. This is after eating all 10 wings.
Where was the contest?
Oh, is it this metal bar that doesn't exist anymore?
Because the reason I was bringing this up is because, you know, all those people, protesters at Wall Street and Union Square, they're protesting the current, you know, economic status quo, and they're getting sprayed with pepper spray. So pepper spray is essentially capsaicin, which I have tasted pure, and
I've tasted the ghost pepper.
Yeah, which is pretty close to pure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're literally blinded. You feel like you've just had you've just run a marathon and had sex for 7 hours straight. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
This stuff pure.
It wakes up your endorphins. Capsaicin?
What was that?
Have you ever had pure capsaicin, which is the essence, which makes chili peppers hot, which makes hot.
I'm Indian. I've had...
You've had pure capsaicin. What? Oh!
I'm made of pure capsaicin.
Well, listen, right. They use it to keep elephants at bay out of, the flower beds in India.
They spray their...
That's what they use the ghost pepper for. And they spray it on people when they don't like what they're doing, if they're acting up.
What do you think's on the India-Pakistan border?
Yeah, I bet they're spraying lots of capsicum around there.
capsicum. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's capsicum.
I thought capsicum.
I thought capsicum was just any pepper.
I told you I'm hungover.
Well, that's. I think it's. Oh, you're right. Capsicum is the Latin name for the pepper, and then there's capsaicin,
because they call it,
which is
they
the element
it,
in the.
Oh, you know more than I do.
Okay, so when I was a food writer at the Daily News, because the Daily News loves stories like this, we got pure capsaicin from Dave's Insanity Sauce. It was like a little tiny bottle with a gold seal, and like you'd break it open. And we got this chick who probably still runs, I think it's called Dos Toros or something. It was a new Mexican restaurant in like right near Gramercy Park. And we got her to add one tiny little chip of this capsaicin to like this massive vat of salsa. And so people went to our restaurant because she made the hottest salsa ever, in theory. So we had everyone in the restaurant who would be willing to try it. There was even a pregnant lady who was willing to step up.
Hey, wait a minute. That won't shut your baby down.
I know.
I thought they came out with this whole study that said that, you know, if you eat spicy food when your baby's in the womb, that the baby can eat better spicy food.
Oh, that's what it'll do. It improves your baby.
That was the very next thing I was actually going to bring up.
When we come back, tons of trivia, tons of fun.
And I'll take
my pants
off.
Before we start talking about trivia, Pervaise, before we went to the break, brought up it was like the exact next headline I actually wanted to talk about, which is the fact that which is kind of like a duh study that the more diverse foods you eat when you're in the your mother eats when they're in the room when you're in the room,
room. Oh,
in the
right.
room
yeah
the like the more experimental an eater you will be. I think all three of us are experimental eaters and eat like lots of hot things, and I think all three of us grew up eating
my that way. Mommy and daddy said from the womb, they said, you have to eat everything on your plate.
From the womb.
Well, maybe not from the womb.
Isn't that written in like child rearing manuals?
I know for a fact not a single one of my friends isn't a picky eater. They're all the worst people in the world. And I'm not, because I was brought up correctly to eat everything. And not complain. And that's made me a fairly okay person.
But I mean, it seems like such a no-brainer, because people from different cultures, children eat different things from the word go, so it's kind of like, of course. Because my parents grew up in Louisiana, where everybody eats hot sauce, yada, yada, yada. So we always had that, and we had foods with intense flavors, and Pervaise is from Pakistan, so.
But how does this explain my mad cravings for whiskey and pig?
I have no idea.
Like mad cravings.
Adopted. Oh, okay, so trivia.
So let's do trivia.
How's this going to roll?
I want to, I think it should roll. Why don't you hit me with a couple?
Okay,
and
I've
got some
three
juicy
questions
ones
Matt.
For you. We'll give a little time for the audience to mull through it as well.
This is an easy one.
Hit me.
So these are question one,
the trivia round.
The trivia round. So I wrote these questions for Matt because he hosts cooking competitions for a living, and the very first one, his baby, was chili. Which is because you actually like to make big vats of chili.
Check out
which
the
I remember because I interviewed you in Edible Brooklyn. Mm. Okay, so this is a really easy one. What is the full name of the dish informally known as chili?
Chili con carne?
Yes.
Okay, that's awesome. And thank you for throwing me a softball.
Yes.
A. B. I shouldn't have answered so quickly. I'm sure the audience at home wanted a little time with that one. Except they probably didn't, because that was indeed a softball.
Yes.
I mean, my God.
So the next question is, what is brick chili?
Brick chili.
Yeah.
Brick chili. There's no such thing.
That
it's
is
a trick
not
question.
True. So way back in ye olden frontier days, am I allowed to, should I answer it already?
Yeah, I guess. Because by now the audience also doesn't know what brick chili is.
Okay, so back on when they were on the trail, I guess in the way southwest, they would make these bricks of super air-dried beef, suet, which is basically, I guess, beef tallow or beef fat, and chilies, and then they'd reconstitute it in a pot later.
Cowboys
into chili.
This? Who did
or,
this?
Like, not even cowboys, frontier settlers.
Whoa, I didn't even know they dried and food then, like that. That's like NASA stuff.
Yeah, and until recent, there's still, I think, one food label that still even makes brick chili. I'm doing scare quotes for those of you who can't see me, which means everyone but the two people in the room. So someone still actually makes a brick chili where you reconstitute it, which I did not know until I was Googling this all today.
Wow. Brick chili. I want to read about brick chili now.
I know. It's fascinating,
probably
right?
Probably wouldn't eat it.
Yeah. Seriously.
No, I don't know. Why wouldn't you eat it? The beef would be all gross, but the beans... It's,
well, it's basically beef jerky. You're reconstituting some kind of weird beef jerky.
Sounds like a colon problem.
Yeah.
Hit me with another.
Number... Oh, shit.
I'm good at this.
Number two... Oh, shit. What is my
iPad problems?
I want to know where you read about brick chili.
I'm not going to tell you. You can guess.
Internets.
Yeah, yeah. Would back bacon be acceptable to enter into the bacon takedown?
Yes.
Why?
Back bacon?
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically, you can use any kind of bacon. I mean,
but what is back bacon?
Oh, God, you got me. I mean, I would assume it's the fatty rump that's been carved away from a pig and then fried and...
Do you know what back bacon is?
Are you making fun of my weight?
No.
What's back bacon?
Sorry. Back bacon is another word for Canadian bacon.
Correct.
Which is actually a lean loin.
Oh. Like, well, because my bacon takedowns are no rules events, yes, you would be allowed to use it. Absolutely.
Just because it has the name bacon in it?
Well, just because it's...
pork product that's cut
it's
thin.
A pork product, yeah. Right. Canadian bacon. You're saying Canadian bacon isn't real bacon because it is not enough fat. Yeah,
it technically is not what we consider bacon.
Does that mean turkey bacon counts too?
That's the thing. If it's got the word bacon in it, you're going to use it. It's not a big deal,
right? But don't you give us the bacon for the bacon takedown?
Well, yeah, I can give you 15 pounds of Hormel Black Label bacon. That's
Hormel is
they're sponsoring that.
Is that kind of like Black Label Johnny Walker?
You could that's the head of Hormel was a big Black Label fan, and I think that's why he came up with the name. He thought it would be a good marketing gimmick.
How about bacon dog food?
Ooh.
See, are you saying yes? Absolutely. I'm telling you, there's no rules in my takedowns. You can do this. This is the thing you can do. If you want to win, if you want to be a champion, then you shouldn't enter your bacon dog food. I want to have a dog food takedown so badly, though. It's people aren't ready to sacrifice their dogs to try different kinds of dog
food. But they sacrifice themselves? Wait. So if you did a dog food takedown, the dogs would have to decide? How would they decide?
Yeah, yeah. How much they're enjoying themselves. How hard their tail wags.
I think that would be incredible.
It would be adorable to see a puppy takedown.
A puppy takedown.
And you bring them all to the trough, and everyone supplies their own different dog foods. All right, sorry.
What would PETA have to say about this?
Feeding the dogs, we're not eating. It's not a puppy. It's not as if the puppy was the secret ingredient.
Could you see puppytakedown.com, what would happen?
We could actually probably get that, right?
I think that would be rad, and it's definitely
question
still
number
out
three.
There. Oh, I thought that was three.
No, that was two.
How many questions do we have?
Three, just for Matt.
All right, hit me.
You got 3 minutes.
Oh my god, shit! This is an easy one. What famous meat cooking competition happens? This is so easy. In Memphis in May.
Memphis in May.
Thank you.
Memphis in May.
Yes. What kind of competition is it?
Oh,
barbecue,
that's right.
Yes.
Did you? Are you allowed to answer? Pervez is allowed to answer.
Well,
oh,
right?
Sorry.
Yes. No. You are allowed to answer. I didn't know that one. That's wonderful news. And now I'm going to ask my questions to the two of you and to the audience at home. I'm very proud of my
Real
questions.
Real quick, though, puppytakedown.com is available.
Oh, yes.
Oh, cheers, dude. Thanks for the factoid. Listen to this.
Puppy food takedown.
Similar to marijuana's THC and its effect on the brain, the cannabinoid neurotransmitter anandamide is found in what everyday food? Though experts say the average person would have to eat 25 pounds of it to feel even remotely high.
Repeat that.
Similar to marijuana's THC and its effect on the brain, the cannabinoid neurotransmitter anandamide is found in what everyday food? Although experts say that the average person would have to eat 25 pounds of it just to feel even a little bit remotely high. Just a little bit.
Bacon.
I don't
That's
know.
That's your guess? Bacon is your
it's
guess?
It's not tryptophan.
Anandamide.
Anandamide.
Spelling, please.
A-N-A-N-D-I-M-I-D-E.
Poppy seeds?
I'll give you the answer.
Uh-huh.
chocolate. You would have to eat 25 chocolate. Pounds of chocolate to feel even a little bit of a buzz.
I did that yesterday.
And no nausea. Followed by the next question. According to the Mayo Clinic website, which of the following food is okay to eat while pregnant?
Mayonnaise.
A, swordfish. B, sushi. C, tuna. D, brie cheese. Which of these foods is okay to eat?
You knew I was going to ask you to
when you are
that.
Pregnant. Swordfish, sushi, tuna, brie cheese.
Hmm.
I'm going to say brie cheese.
I'm going to say
you're
gonna swordfish.
Say brie cheese. You're going to say swordfish. You're both
wrong.
Wrong.
It's all of, none of the above.
No, C. You can eat all the tuna you want.
Oh, you
can? Push tuna.
Mayo was kind of close to that, sort of.
Wait, tuna doesn't have mercury?
Doesn't have shitloads of mercury in it?
If you are unlucky to eat a mercury-laden tuna fish, but I don't know. Is it tuna fish that's got all the mercury? It was dolphins. Don't ask me anything about it.
No, but there's lots of... We should all have the app. There's several apps, or you can look it up online.
No, you can eat tuna. My God.
No, I think tuna has high levels of mercury. Well, depending on how much you eat.
This is according to the Mayo Clinic. What do they know?
Also overfished.
Mayo... Check with the Mayo Clinic. They're doctor people. Mm. In beer measurements, how much beer is a flagon? Is it a quart, a half pint, or a gallon? The both of you can answer. Those of you listening at home, stretch your minds. A quart, a half pint, or a gallon, how much is a flagon of beer?
I'm going to say a gallon.
Would you use that in a sentence? I'm teasing.
I raised my flagon high. Because,
right, exactly. It doesn't help at all.
I could use another flagon. I just ran out of beer, and I'm sitting
was that
here.
A hint?
No, it's not. It's a quart. A quart is
it
a flagon.
It was a hint, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to actually raise it.
Right. Right
no, that's
right.
not. That, would,
this
that
is
would
like
be a pint.
Pint of beer here, yeah. So a quart of beer is a flagon.
That sounds nice. Wrong.
Right. I know. Does it? It's we not could, wrong. You could These are highly researched, super dope questions. I'm never wrong. Oh, and here's a goodie. I'm about to mispronounce this word and ruin everything, but check it out. Magiricophobia. Magiricophobia. M-A-G-E-I-R. You can't Google.
Rachel's
I'm looking
Googling
up tuna.
On her iPad.
I'm looking up tuna
okay.
and mercury.
M-A-G-E-I-R-I-C-O-phobia.
Method of modern love.
Magiricophobia. It's the fear of what? Magiricophobia.
Maggots.
M-A-G-E-I-R-I-C-O.
Magiricophobia. I have no... It's food related?
Yes.
Hmm.
It's the fear of having to cook.
No, now, oh, really?
Yes,
really?
Yes, it's the fear of having to cook. Now, check this out, dudes. This is the part of the trivia, if you'll allow me. I'm going to give you ingredients, and I'm going to...
Wait, we should do this after the break.
Oh, we have
this
a break coming
kitchen?
Up, Jack?
Yes.
Ah!
There's the hint.
Woo! Welcome back to the Rachel and Matt Show.
We didn't talk about our break music.
Oh, I know.
Is that the race?
I gave you Weed Eater just then.
Right.
And
what was the name of the song?
After the fact.
Like $60,000 peanut?
$20 peanut. And it's food related because you said if you're going to play a metal song, it has to be at least food related. And I whipped through my limited knowledge of songs.
Matt, how does it feel to have no echo on your voice?
Sucky. I kind of was hoping we could. Can we change that?
Oh, wait, but the first break song was Bread Fan. That was a Metallica version. We wanted Budgie, but we couldn't find it.
We're both huge Budgie fans, so hopefully you're going to expect a little more Budgie in your near future.
By the way, if you were listening to
Is that the kind of diaper?
What?
Budgie?
No, it's a bird.
Don't embarrass yourself, dude. It's only the greatest metal band that never was.
Yeah, exactly.
They just never got discovered. They didn't get to be as big as, say, Black Sabbath or anything. But they're a. Yeah.
But if you were listening to segment two, which we hope you were, none of us knew anything about whether tuna was actually safe to eat. So you should just go to the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch because I can tell you everything you need to know.
And
they have apps. I have to look for tuna. But
all right. Well, I'm right and you're wrong. And this is all according to the Mayo Clinic. And I think they know a little more about health.
I'm trying to live up to the informative.
Hey, mm-hmm. I've got this really good idea. So here's my latest game show. And it's called What Am I Making? And I'm going to ask you, Rachel, my awesome co-host, and Purvaez, what am I making? We're going to do a little this. I've got a couple recipes here, and I'm going to run them by you. Starting now, 3 pounds of whitefish, 1 pound black cod fillets, 1 pound ling cod fillets, 2.5 large onions, 4 carrots, 5 eggs, 1.5 tablespoons of white sugar, salt, white pepper, 3/4 of a cup of matzo meal, and 3/4 of a cup of ice water.
Gefilte fish.
Yes, nice one. Well done. Why didn't you pop up? You totally knew that.
Well, I was waiting for you to pause.
Oh, well, look who pumped and scores a point.
The lapsed Muslim.
Yeah.
I love gefilte fish.
Oh, Purvaez is that by
especially when it's wrapped in bacon.
Have you made gefilte fish?
I would love to.
Yeah, we should do that. I love gefilte fish. I like the jarred stuff, which almost no one ever
I can't eat any of it. I've been to enough bar mitzvahs when
this
I was a kid.
It
brings me back to the worst times when I was lonely and young. Check this one out. This is 2 tablespoons of olive oil. 2 cloves of garlic, a large onion, a small fennel bulb, a large pinch of saffron, soaked in 2 tablespoons of orange juice. This was in the recipe I found. It's optional. A can of whole tomatoes, or get yourself some fresh ones. But no, canned is always sweeter, isn't that true? 6 cups of seafood stock or clam juice. And some or all of the following seafood. Ask your fish seller for enough to feed 4 to 6 people, says this recipe. Halibut, cod, tilapia, snapper in large chunks, shell-on, large shrimp or lump crab meat, clams or mussels, some parsley chopped. Anyways, you got to get yourself a big, heavy pot over medium-high heat. You take in the garlic and the onions and all that stuff and saute at the fennel 5-10 minutes. Add the saffron. Add the stock.
Bouillabaisse?
Bring it to a boil. Yes, bouillabaisse. 1-1.
And I was actually not even... I was only halfway listening until the very end because I was trying to parse these incredibly complex recommendations for what kind of tuna to eat.
You're only half listening and you've just brought yourself up to a tie?
Dude, I kid you not. I'm looking at Seafood Watch's guide for tuna and they have 5 different kinds of tuna listed and whether it's a good or bad choice. I'm just going to read these out loud.
Yeah.
Albacore tuna, best choice. Albacore tuna, good alternative. Albacore tuna, good alternative. Albacore tuna, avoid. Albacore tuna, avoid. What? Those all sound like the same
awesome.
Things to
that's
me.
That's really awesome.
Does it say where they're from?
Well, it's more about how they're caught, but it's incredibly complicated to actually figure out.
And it's avoid because of the mercury content?
Well, it depends.
And what does that have to do with a pregnant woman, which is a different animal entirely?
Yes, it is.
It is.
I think the health alert... It's mercury, which is higher if it's longline caught and lower if it's troll or pole caught.
I was only half listening too.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, right. Can I ask you another one, please?
Yes.
I'm having a good time with this. Here's what you need. 2 pints of ice cream, brick style ice cream, sponge cakes, 1 inch thick or layer cakes, 5 egg whites, teaspoon of vanilla, 1/2 teaspoon of cream of tartar, and 2/3 of a cup of sugar. Now, I'm going to ask you to lay the ice cream bricks side by side, measured length, whatever. You lay out the ice cream bricks. You trim a cake 1 inch larger on all sides than ice cream measurements. Place cake on a piece of foil. Center the ice cream on a cake. Cover and freeze until firm. At serving time, beat all the eggs together. The vanilla, the cream of tartar. Don't let the audience at home know. Gradually add in sugar, beating after each tablespoon is added. Transfer the cake with the ice cream to a baking sheet.
Keep going.
Spread with egg white mixture, sealing the edges of the cake and baking sheet all around. Swirl to make peaks.
With the
Place oven the rack in the lowest position and bake in a 500 degree oven for about 3 minutes.
That's the money shot right there.
That's
this
the
recipe.
Money shot. So, Pervaise, do you know?
You just took ice cream and put it in the oven.
Yeah, you did. And why did you do
Pervaise,
that?
Pervaise, do you not know?
Is it a baked Alaska?
Well, in all fairness, I feel like that was Rachel's. But he gets the point because he said it.
Well, I was trying to let it be interesting.
I've known them all.
The
I just want to be nice to Rachel.
Please.
I'm still, my mind is boggled by how difficult it is to figure out what freaking kind of tuna to eat.
These are too easy. I feel like I screwed up.
Well, why was every food a French food?
Oh, shut up.
And
last minute,
I thought it was a seafood theme.
Here we go. Here's one more. One 15-ounce can.
The tuna from Heritage Foods USA, by the way, is excellent.
And another wait. No, here's another even more shameless plug. It's served on a really awesome sandwich at Essex Street Market from Heritage Meat Shop. I had one the other day. It's really good.
Oh, yum. I should stop in there. So check this out. One more. Here are your ingredients. One 15-ounce can of chickpeas drained.
Wait, someone just tells us we're pronouncing capsaicin incorrectly, so I just want to know how to pronounce it. But that's a different thing, isn't it?
Who's saying we pronounce it?
Well, I don't mind if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, just as long as the listeners go away knowing what to do right.
Uh-oh. Does anyone out there know how to pronounce capsicum? Like I do? Because it's pronounced
it's capsicum. All right, done.
Isn't it?
I don't know.
Capsicum. Oh, man.
You're probably right.
I know I'm right. I only think I'm right. This isn't...
Internet it!
I don't want to internet it. I want to ask the next question. I'm chopping at the bit.
Okay.
Check it. One 15-ounce can of chickpeas drained. One medium onion, finely chopped. One tablespoon of minced garlic. Two tablespoons fresh parsley. One teaspoon of coriander. 3/4 teaspoon cumin. 1/2 teaspoon of salt. 2 tablespoons of flour. Some oil for frying. Canola, vegetable, whatever. And here's what you do. You combine the chickpeas, the garlic, the onion, coriander, falafel. The cumin. Yes, it's falafel. Yeah. How did you not get that, Pervaise?
Well, it was either falafel or hummus. I was just trying to see where
no
he was
way,
going.
No way, man.
The,
there ain't no onion in hummus.
This is
all
true.
Right, guys. I've got a computer named Crystal, and she's going to help us with the pronunciation of
sweet.
Capsicum.
I love
excellent.
Crystal.
Okay. Oh, you said capsicum, so I'm
okay,
wrong.
I can't wait to be right. Again,
I don't mind being wrong.
Yeah, but you're the smart one.
I think you missed it. Hold
that's
on.
That's not yeah. nice.
Capsicum.
Yeah, that's it.
What did I say? Capsicum.
No, I think she said capsaicin.
I did.
Well, you're the most wrong in the whole planet.
No, I know.
And I'm only partially wrong. No, I like my answer. Capsicum.
I think Rachel just pinched Matt for saying that.
No.
No, she did.
No, I don't mind. I mean, because a lot of words you never hear anyone say. You just read them over
right,
and over again.
Exactly.
So I have no idea how to pronounce them. So.
Exactly.
I mean, I said lingerie until I was like 22.
Oh, lingerie.
Lingerie. Lingerie.
Oh, whoops.
Again, this would be an actual theme song. If
we're going to get a really good theme song, guys.
It's kind of disappointing.
We drew our logo yesterday. We drew our logo at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday.
Guys, expect seriously good times ahead.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.